Okay, so I lost track of time, and I apologize for that, but let me get back to full screen here. So, okay. So,
Karen, I have a couple of questions.
Please.
Because I don't want to shift gears before I remember to ask this. So, one more clarification on body scan. I liked when we were doing the one that Claire did with the gratitude. Mm-hmm. I really liked that one. And then I sort of moved away from it because I thought even putting in gratitude is putting in kind of an energy like what you were talking about. Like, mm-hmm. so I don't know. So is that accurate that it would be like to keep it more like you're talking about more, centered just on body part? If I'm thinking gratitude, I can also get a little hung up in not wanting to feel gratitude for a certain part. So then I get into too much thought, you know?
Sure. Sure. Hold on. Is my internet okay?
Yes.
You can hear me? Okay. I think ultimately what it comes to, cause you know what it comes down to, cause I'm not going to give you this is how it's done. But it's what are you trying to accomplish, right? Mm-hmm. And if someone is in anxiety or stress, we want to come into the present moment without any filters. We want to just be, we are learning to come into the present moment just as it is. And so just being in the body as the body is without any other anything, that's what we want, right? But you notice when you did the gratitude one, there's a shift. Something shifts, right? When Kathleen took us through that and there was that gratitude in there, there's a sweetness. It cultivates that gratitude in us, which is really healing and whole making, right? For us. So I think part of what you discover as you do the techniques, and since you're not being trained just one school of meditation, this is how we do it. So you have to go out there and do it this way because you get to notice this is what's making me feel good right now. This is what I need right now. And then it's there as your tool. Mm-hmm. And ultimately when an itching, right? I don't think you're not going to teach. But even if you think you're not going to teach, you're going to situation with somebody, they're going to need something and it's going to be there able to just give them a breath or something. And I think what you do is you trust your body and your experience to remember and go, oh, in this situation, let me just sit here in my body. I'm training myself to be completely present without judgment. Without resistance, the body scan, there's so much richness to it. If you're in a body scan, you are not resisting. Or if you are resisting, you notice you're resisting. And you're releasing attachment. So body scan is training us in skills that hold us. Oh, that didn't work. In really good stead in our. So I just want to say, do what you like. Do what feels good. You know the distinction. And knowing the distinction, you know that if somebody is in the middle of a panic attack, through meditation is not going to work. It's too out there. There's too many pieces. One thing. What color is that wall? What is the sensation under your left cheek? What is a sensation in your left elbow?
Okay.
We gotta boom, hone in right now, right? Once you're through the panic attack and you're feeling better, what these other techniques can be very calming and soothing and bring you a feeling that, oh, it's okay. Life's gonna be okay. So I know that's not the answer you wanted, but that's the answer I got, which is you gotta find what you like. and do that. Just get good at that. Because the fact is, once you know one thing, right? You know, you learn one progression and you've got it down. And this is what you use for tension and release relaxation. This is what I use for body scan. Once you've got it, other ones will become really simple. Like now I would go in and I would go, it's like, oh, I can go into my armpit, from my armpit to my shoulder and back down into my chest. I didn't know that until Agnieszka did that today. And I was like, but that's easy now because I've got all the, I know the rest. I can add a little variation really easy. It's like you cook, those of you, anybody who cooks, right? You know how you make your omelets. You know how you make your eggs in the morning, scrambled eggs. But one morning you decide to add a little cheese. It's easy. You already know how to do the eggs. You know how to do the butter. You know how to keep the temperature right so it doesn't get all funky wonky, you know? And same with this. You know what you know. Learn to make one thing. Learn to do one thing well. And the variations will come on their own and they'll be easy. Was that too long an answer?
Nope.
Was it what? Was did it answer it?
It's perfectly fine.
In other words, it's not the answer I wanted, but it's the answer you're giving me. But if you want a more detailed answer, now I can give you something more detailed now that I've given you all the... Because you're right, this is our moment. If you have any more questions on it, this is a good moment for it.
I think I'm just in the, you know, I'm all fine and dandy with like expanding it later, but we are in a class to learn. And so I want to learn, you know,
the learn right one.
Way. Yeah.
You want to, you're Capricorn. That's our Capricorn. I want to learn the right way. Learn your body. You want to learn the body scan the right way? Learn the body scan from the feet up. Okay. You want to learn tension and release relaxation? Hold on. Start at the head and move down. You want to just relax, to get somebody so relaxed that they can just kind of sink and have a moment of respite, refuge from the rest of their life, then be more broad. Don't be as detailed as you would be in a body. Your body is more broad, but a body scan traditionally is detailed. 30 minutes, 45 minutes of horror for most people. It's like, get me out of my body. I can't, my mind can't even stay with you because I don't like this, right? So if you want, if you're trying to relax people, you don't want to keep them anywhere too long, but give them plenty to focus on. So give them more parts. Hence, as you've all done a million times with me, relax the forehead, the eyebrows, the eyes, the cheekbones, the cheeks, the mouth, the lips. Sometimes I'll give you teeth and tongue, right? Relax the jaw, relax the neck, the shoulders. And we go, you find the rhythm that you think your people can stay with you. And generally that rhythm is your. You're in your shoulder. You're in your elbow. And your mind wanders like, oh shit, too long. Come back. Let's all go to our wrist. Let's go a little faster to our fingers, and keeping the mind engaged helps to drifting off is not relaxation. It's escape, right? Bringing awareness to each part of the body, just bringing awareness there helps it to soften and let go. I don't know why or how, but that's what happens, right? So if you're trying to get somebody to just be relaxed and to let go of the tightness in their body so they can rest, then moving a little quicker. And by quicker, I don't mean every second, but you're not giving them a minute in between, like some of those body scans, right? It's a long pause. And give them imagery. Give them imagery. That's where what Kathleen introduced today is really effective. You know, feel the weight of your body. Imagine that you're melting into the floor. Feel a, you know, give them words that evoke things like softness, release. Those kinds of words help people to engage not just physically, which the body scan is training us to, but using the power of the thought and the imagination. If where the word is soft, body will get soft. The word is heavy, body will get heavy, right? Is that a little more how to do it right, my Capricorn?
Yes, but I'm also a little more confused, but that's okay.
Let's clear it up. Because I did. I just added an element, didn't I? Okay. Yeah. Body scan, awareness, present moment, right here, right now, aware of sensation, building to the ability to recognize sensation in the body without running away from it, without judging it, without being afraid of it, so that we can be completely present without any attachment or resistance to what is going on. And that awareness develops to where we can feel and sense the stress, the anxiety coming. And before it becomes perfect, we've seen it and we can address it. We can give it the attention and that it needs, the reassurance it needs. Okay. Body scan. Tense and release is a relaxation technique, right? That is building other skills, such as the ability to hold space. You hold tightness in one area. My calf is really tight, right? My foot is shaking, but this part of me is all like this. Blah. That's a skill. If I can hold tightness in one area of my body, the rest of me be soft. Well, I can hold tightness in my chest. I can hold heartbreak in my heart. And the rest of me can still function. Okay. So it's a simple relaxation skill that's building other skills. The deep relaxation that we were just talking about, which is a technique most of us want to be able to do for ourselves and for our children, our spouses, somebody who's, you know, sick in the hospital. We want to be able to help them relax and soften their body. For that, you know, you have, if you tighten a muscle, it helps people find release. You know that bringing attention and awareness to a part of the body helps it to release. So when you're trying to just soften and relax somebody, you can just use one or the other or combine them. And so see, Brenda, I cannot repeat the same thing the same way. It's just impossible for me. Every time I do it, it's like, oh, but then there's this. So did that make it worse?
No, that was actually good. I think where you lost me in the, like, I don't know, second explanation was when you gave specifics about, for this technique, start here, which you've been telling us start where we want to start.
Like, I did, but you said you want to know how to do it right. So if you want to know how to do it right, right? According to John Kabat-Zinn, start in your feet for a body scan. If you want to do it, if you want to relax, do a relaxation technique. Many of them start from the top, the exact opposite of what Ramona Nanyeshka discovered, right? So for you, Capricorn, now you know how to do it right. And now you know that Ramona Nanyeshka have discovered it works for them and they're going to do it that way. What's so funny on my screen? I got both Capricorns right in front of me here.
You know? Well, I wanted to hear the other Capricorn's take on this.
I'm not so into doing it right these days.
Yes. Go Capricorn. Yes. All right. All right. A little freedom. Agnieszka.
I just need a clarification. You distinguished between doing, be more specific, more details. Was it for body scan and more broad for relaxation? Or did I
No. The body scan, okay, let me clarify, because I meant two things and I probably wasn't clear. The body scan, if you're going to do a quick one, it's not detailed. It's foot, leg, blah, blah. But if you're doing a real traditional body scan, it is more detailed. It is more detailed because it's about becoming aware of sensation and really using the curiosity of the mind, developing the skill of holding my attention to my ankle. And can I really just discover more and more layers of sensation and awareness? When we're trying to relax somebody, doing that level of detail, we can lose them. At the same time, doing something too broad is, may not bring the depth of relaxation. So if you, it depends on how much time you've got and how your people are doing. If everybody's really tired, if you do a 20-minute body relaxation, they're all going to be asleep, right? So the broader strokes, just relax your leg, your torso, your arms, and broad strokes like that. Well, hold on. I'm just going through years of teaching and I'm trying right now to just kind of pull it in. That's if you're going quick. If you're trying to, the body scan, you can go slower because you want people to dive in. If you're trying to relax somebody, you're going to need to move a little more quickly or they'll fall asleep on you. You're developing two different skills. The body scan, yeah, people are going to fall asleep, but the deal, traditionally, the body scan, they're going to do it over and over again to where they can stay awake and stay for a minute in my big toe and stay for a minute in my ankle and stay for a minute in my knee, right? And stay awake through the whole thing. That's developing awareness, right? Whereas if we're just trying to relax somebody, we do want to break it down, give the mind something to engage in. But we don't want to go to the level of detail on a body relaxation that we do on a body scan. I mean, we're not going into I don't know. I mean,
I think I understand. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when I said it the first time, see, this is my flaw as a teacher, you guys. I said it the first time and I was so clear what I was saying. And now I've gotten into all the exceptions and all of the nuances. And it's like, we got to keep me out of that because then it gets confusing for you, I'm sure, you know, which is all to say, really, is there a right way? Right. And your students may be totally different than my students. And I mean, I literally just feel the room and I just try and get gauge what's needed right now. And, you know, if you're teaching a bunch of high powered, you know, stressed out corporate people, that's going to be a really different kind of relaxation than if you're teaching moms who just want to get away from their kids. Not that they're both not stressed out and in high stress jobs, but it's different. The corporate mindset is very, very different than what a mom is dealing with, you know? So you'll want to adapt. Okay. I'm talking way too much. I don't know. I feel like I'm just like, I'm digging my hole deeper and deeper and deeper. So anybody else before we move on? Go ahead, Ramon.
I want to make a quick comment. Even though you think it's a flaw, it's actually, when you explain it in different ways, it actually gives you a different perspective. We all learn differently. So for me, when you say that, I know where you're getting at.
Do you?
Using the different words that you use and different ways of explaining it deepens that understanding for me. So it's not a flaw. So.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
And I know you want to move on to teach something, but you asked me in class the other day to remind you about feeling is not emotion.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, I don't know if.
I did say that. Okay, hang that. Hold that thought. Laura, did you have something?
I was just going to jump on what Ramon said. And I said, I just think it's like a, when you are digging your hole, you're allowing us to dive deep. And it, you give us such good food for thought.
Okay. Then I will continue to dig because that's natural for me. All right. So let's do a real brief. I wanted to, yeah, Kathleen, I asked her to make sure, because we didn't cover this in some of the other classes. We kind of went into it on Thursday morning class, and then I went there Thursday evening class and got totally derailed from some of the other stuff I wanted to do. And I've been trying to pay attention to it. So here's the thing. It gets really complicated in meditation because we're limited by these words, and we have words that have multiple meanings. And when you use them in a context, I may be using the word feeling in one context, but 4 minutes ago I used it in another context and you're still with me in my other context and we're not communicating because I don't have the vocabulary to dive into the nuance. And in the English language, the word feeling is synonymous with emotion. How are you feeling? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling loved. I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling right. And what Kriyananda, and I think it's in one of the things we read, right? An emotion has motion to it. It starts to, you feel a compulsion to do something or to act. And even the act of imploding and burying it is an action, right? A feeling state is just a feeling. It's just there. And a feeling state, because Lisa asked this on Thursday night and I was like, wow. Because my association with a feeling state is it's that moment after the meditation, like this morning, after each one of these beautiful little scans you led us through, after our meditation this morning, you know, we were all just kind of sitting there kind of, there's no emotion. I mean, there might be some stuff going on, but there was a sense of just ease, right? And it just felt maybe a little quiet, a little calm. And that's what we call a feeling state. When I ask you to inhale into your heart center and just have that moment where the breath kind of kisses, says hello to the heart center. I've learned not to hide self view, so I don't see myself. So I don't know if you could see my actions. Could you? Okay. You know, it's that moment where the breath touches the heart. It's a feeling. It's just a feeling, but it's a feeling that has some openness and some tenderness, but I don't want to go out and I don't want to do anything. I'm just feeling it. So this was my perception of feeling state. And then Lisa brought up on Thursday night, it's like, well, but can you just sit with a feeling? And she was meaning emotion. And it's like, well, I guess we do in a way, don't we? We do. We can sit with the feeling of fear. That's what we're learning to do. We're learning to sit with the feeling of grief. But so how do we, in Kriyananda is just making a real distinction. Fear and grief are still emotions. And so there's a distinction between learning how to sit and hold space and allow an emotion to do what it needs to do. And so this is where the words get complicated, right? I'm allowing myself to just feel the emotion, to just be with the emotion. But that's not quite the same as a feeling state. And the feeling state he's talking about is that state where there is no, oh my God, I just figured it out. I just figured it out. Okay, here it is. Okay, this is actually kind of deep. Okay, hold on. Can I even say it? What it is if you can sit with the feeling of fear, if you can sit with the feeling of grief, if you can sit with the feeling of envy or jealousy or frustration, right? Anger. You just sit with it. that emotion is going to literally, it transmutes into a feeling state of presence and strength. That's what it is. Thank you, Miss Lisa.
I like that.
I got it. Okay. I got it. Because I think, I don't know what class it was I was talking to you guys about. I had such heartbreak. And I realized that as I just allowed it to be, and it took, it was in and there for a few days. But when I went back to look for it, what I found was a real feeling of stability and strength and just presence that was really, and so. This is why we trust our experience, right? We trust our experience. Your experience is your teacher. I'm sure it's in there in a book somewhere and I might have read it a million times, but none of it landed. But so.
I think of a feeling state as like a being state.
Oh, I like that, Brenda. It's a being. Be here now. Mm-hmm. Being, not doing. Ooh, the human being. Ooh, somebody should write a blog on that.
It's the very basic abstract verb.
Yeah. Okay. So that was actually an important little lesson. Thank you for reminding me, Kathleen.
You're welcome. I don't know if you saw that little blip I sent you from Eckhart Tolle. I sent you a little YouTube blip that kind of maybe explains that space. To me, it did. So you'll have to listen to it and see what you think.
Yeah, I think I started to listen to it and I didn't have time to watch it. So I had to just move on. Okay. So yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right. Now should we talk about Tonglen? So Tonglen is spelled T-O-N-G-L-E-N. Okay. And Tonglen is a technique, traditional, once again, like neti, neti, neti. This is a technique that's been around for, I don't know, ever, right? And you'll find different definitions of what Tonglen means. And so you'll see it says it means giving and receiving or taking and giving or the one I like best, exchanging self for others. But essentially what Tonglen is, it's a technique that can be used to ease your suffering, to ease an intense emotion you're having. And it also is used to relieve the suffering of others. So often when I am working with somebody, like with my daughter, I'm breathing Tonglen for my daughter as we're doing this, right? They say there are monks all over the world who all they do all day is breathe Tonglen for humanity, for the world. But the key element of Tonglen that is so transformative is it takes this concept that whatever I'm feeling, whatever you're feeling that is suffering, that the way through the suffering is compassion. So it's a technique to cultivate compassion and experience, literally experience the transmutable, and that's not the right word. Transform seems too bleh. There's a word for it. It's almost like a metaphysical transmutation of suffering into this feeling of compassion, which is, and it's not compassion that I have to go and fix the world. It's compassion that is just infused with so much love and connection to life. So what this feeling of suffering that separates us, right? I mean, think about suffering for a minute. When you're suffering, do you feel connected? No, we feel isolated. We feel that we're alone. We feel like there's something wrong with us. There's something, it's a very lonely, lonely place. Compassion is as we cultivate compassion, compassion is the ultimate place of feeling connected to everything. There is no judgment. There is no separation. It's like, I get it. And if you've ever had anybody when you're feeling bad, just, I get it. And who was it? I think it was one of us who was talking about, or maybe it was Darcy, but they were sitting there with a lot of grief and somebody just came over and sat and just put their hand on her lap. Brenda, was it Darcy who said that?
I think it was Lisa with two eyes.
It was you, Lisa. Okay. I thought, okay, it was you. Just came and sat there with her hand. Not a word was said, but you felt connected, right? There's nothing wrong with me. This person sees me, gets me, and she's right here with me. She's not rejecting me or scolding me or trying to distract me, right? There's something about being seen, about being okay. And when we feel that connection, it's beautiful. I mean, ultimately, on some level, it's all there is getting back to the point where we're all just connected or just this one beautiful oneness, right? So Tonglen is a journey into the heart of compassion as a transformative practice for you and me. And there's different ways to do it. And we're going to learn at least two, maybe three. And the main difference is one, we're going to learn to do for ourselves. We're going to start with that one. And then we're going to learn to do it for other people. Okay. And the reason we're going to learn to do it for ourselves is because the technique to do it for other people can be very destabilizing. It's like it draws on stuff. And it's just, I've tried it too many times and people are just like, what the fuck? I'm not doing that. Right. So we're not going that road. We're going to start with ourselves and we're going to learn a beautiful, gentle technique that I was taught by a Buddhist nun back in the '90s. Or maybe the early 2000s, doesn't matter. And the premise is that we're feeling suffering, right? We're feeling our heart is breaking. We're fearful. We're anxious. We're angry. I've used it for all of these. Step one is to do the exact opposite of what you want to do, which is run away from it. Right? We want to resist it. We are attached to not feeling suffering. Right? So we're resisting it, and what we want to do is run away. And as the teaching goes, our counterintuitive move in that moment is to lean into it. To just take a breath and just allow the feeling to be there. Just lean into it. Okay. So we're consciously aware that we're doing the exact opposite of what every cell in our body is screaming. We're going to open and allow that feeling to be there. Okay. And just allow it. In fact, Pema Chodron says, lean into it. Don't just allow it, but literally like lean into it. Okay, what are you? Show me you. Let me feel you, right? And then as we do that, we hold the thought, and this is all your training to be able to let go of the thoughts that don't serve you and hold on to the thoughts that serve you, right? This is the thought that's going to serve you. This is the thought you're going to hang on to. For step one is, Well, actually, step one is lean into it. The first thought we hold is other people feel this way too. And so we lean into this and we have the thought, okay, whoa, other people feel this way too. And that's the actual line we say, right? This is our Capricornian. This is the line. Other people feel this way too. But held within that is the recognition that is, I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me. And those two thoughts help to pull us out of any shame that we're feeling, that shame that says there's something wrong with you and you don't get to be part of the human race, which is a brutally destructive feeling, right? And every one of us has it. So other people feel this way too, holds within its beautiful, beautiful, other people feel this way too. Six words. The recognition that I'm not alone and there's nothing wrong with me. I get to be connected to all these other people who feel this too. So I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me. And I am connected. I am connected. And I am worthy of being connected to all these other people. I mean, just sit with that. I mean, finish writing your notes on this, you know, finish writing your notes on this, but then take a moment and let's just sit with that. There's nothing wrong with me. Whoa. I'm not the only person in the whole wide world who's ever had this thought or felt this feeling. Other people feel this way too. Can you feel a sense of relief? Just relief. Ah, there's nothing wrong with me. Okay. There's nothing wrong with me. Other people feel this way too. Other people feel this way too. Other people feel this way too. And we repeat it. We repeat it. And in a little bit, I'll give you the breathing to go with it. But we repeat that thought until we feel that sense of softening. And oh. And then in this one version of Tonglen, this isn't in all the versions, we hold on to this other phenomenal principle that we kind of train with in and around everything we do, which is that this will pass. Because our fear, right, is that this feeling is going to last forever. And right in this moment, maybe, but nope, this feeling is going to last forever. And so we bring in the recognition of this powerful, do I even call it a concept or principle or a truth? It's a truth that everything's impermanence. Everything's impermanent. And so we say, okay, other people feel this way too. Yes, I'm connected. And oh, this is going to pass. Okay. There's a part of me that maybe for you right now, it's just a logical thought. You know, you can kind of rationally go around, okay, my daughter's one. Well, the sun is still there. Cause I'd ask the question, what is still right where it was? It's still the same as it was. And she's like, the sun. I was like, okay, fair. However, really in the grand scheme, it hasn't always been there and someday it's going to die. We know that, right? And so we want to just intellectually grasp this idea of impermanence by looking everywhere during your day. You just look around and go, okay, well that in 50 years, is that going to be here? In 200 years, will that be here? Was it here 3 years ago? Was it here 300 years ago? And we play with it intellectually. And over time, as you realize and you notice that thoughts come and go, emotions come and go, that recognition that this will pass is actually going to be somewhere in your somatic response, in your body. In the beginning with Tonglen, it's an intellectual, okay, this is going to pass, this is going to pass, and there's a little comfort. But the more you do this meditation lifestyle, the more you really see the impermanence of everything. When you say, okay, I'm leaning into this feeling. Other people feel this too. Okay, this is going to pass. There is something deep within you that knows it is going to pass. So you've now got two places of comfort, right? There's nothing wrong with you. and this is going to pass. Okay. So we have some stability. Are you with me? Is this making sense? Okay. Then the third thing is, once we've had the thought, other people feel this way too. Okay, this is going to pass. Then the next thought we're going to hold is, oh, I wish they didn't have to feel that way. I wish they didn't have to feel that way. And you can, this last one, you can morph the words. I'll give you the rest of the concept behind it, and you may find some words that work for you better. That phrase works for me to bring a feeling of, it just opens up a space of, oh my gosh, I wish my daughter didn't have to suffer like this. And it opens my heart up to a real sense, a real sincere wish that she didn't have to suffer. Because I know what she's feeling, right? And so there's a sense of deep compassion. It's not that I have to fix it in here. Please hear me. There's a knowing that just as I got through this and others have gone through it, she's going to get through it too. But I know what she's going through. So it's compassion. And that wish that she didn't have to suffer, that nobody else have to feel what I'm feeling. If there's a way I could relieve all their suffering, I wish I could. I wish I could. Do you see what that does? We've opened into a realm of compassion. And as I explained the breathing to you now and the visualization we do with it, what happens is then all of that suffering, all of that fear, anger, anxiety, whatever it was, is going to be transmuted into compassion. And we're left with compassion, which we can sit with compassion, can't we? That feels very connected. So instead of suffering and feeling separated and isolated, we are here feeling compassion, and we are soft, we are connected, and we feel whole. Any questions on that before we get into the actual, yeah, Kelsey?
For the last step, then, if we're focusing on ourselves, would it just be, I wish I didn't have to feel that way?
No. Okay. When we get to the breathing, you'll see why. We start with it's like, oh my gosh, we tap into that part in us that can go, oh my gosh, I know exactly how they feel. Oh, I wish they didn't have to feel this way. I wish they didn't have to. That's where we start. And then the technique takes us into the next. That brings it back to us. But yeah. Cause you know, okay. Yeah. It's a great question. Any clarifications or questions about this? No? Okay. Really? That made sense?
I have the same one as Kelsey. So.
Okay. Agnieszka. Yeah.
It may not be the time for that, but how do you feel that and not get emotional?
Ah, good question. Okay. That's a big question. I need to sit with this for a second to find my answer. Well, over time, you build stability, but you might get emotional. In which case, you just let the tears flow. You just let them flow. I mean, it's not, those are important emotions to show up for. And those moments when that happens are moments where we, in fact, the way they teach it is, this process, and we would call it this emotion rises up, right? Of incredible tenderness or sadness, because I mean, it opens really tender places. We show up for that. That now becomes what you show up for. You show up and you lean into that feeling and you allow that feeling to be there. And when you're ready, the rest of the technique will fall into place. So whenever we're breathing Tonglen, it's important that we show up for what shows up. This, right? Okay. And then when we found our way with that, then we can come back into the technique, because it can be really emotional. Yeah. I think that's the best answer I've got for that. Was that, did I answer it, Anushka?
Yes, it's very helpful, because I thought I must be centered. I must be this, but yet stuff comes up and I can watch it without getting controlled by it, but I still feel it. And what you said gives me permission just to be as centered as I can be while experiencing this, whatever comes up.
Because what we're learning is your experience is what we have to show up for. That's the authenticness. And I've learned the technique from at least 4 different teachers over the years, right? But Pema Chodron, I'm going to be asking you to go next. We've got 2 weeks off right before we see each other. And this little book right here. See, I can't see myself, so I can't. Can you see it? When Things Fall Apart. This is the best book ever. Lisa, you're nodding. You have it?
Yeah, I read it twice last year.
Yeah. And my daughter in LA, when she was going through a lot of anxiety, and I sent her the book, and my daughter right now, When Things Fall Apart, my children, she's looking for an Amazon right now. And if you can't get this little one, it's just so, it's so cold. I don't know. I'm so partial to this one. If I could, I'd buy it for each one of you and send it to you. But there's going to be a lot that's not going to make sense right now, but I want you to just skim it, and you will find parts. You will find parts that just, you go, oh. Her thing on fear is beautiful. And she talks about Tonglen in here. Okay. Now her version of Tonglen is not what we're doing. So, but she is the one when I was learning it for, I wasn't in person with her. I was studying through a home study course. She's the one who said, if you're starting this process and you start to get anxious or you start to get show up for that, breathe into that. Do the technique with that, and you'll eventually come back. So, exactly what Agnieszka said. You are learning to show up for the experience you're having, no matter what the meditation technique is. All of the techniques are portals into helping us find what's out of balance so we can balance it. Okay? So couple more things then before we launch into the technique. The breath we're learning, the breath to soften and release, which is not the relaxation breath, okay? There is a 3-part breath, which is breathe in 3, belly, chest, fill the tops of the lungs, empty the tops of the lungs, empty the chest, empty the belly. That's 3-part breath in 3 out, right? In reverse order on the out. Then there is the breath, the relaxed, which is, we use 3-part breath on the inhale, but as we exhale, we let this wave of softness, we train ourselves to let a wave of softness move down through the body from your crown to your toes. And we train to get to where we can do it in one breath. That's a relaxation breath. When we do it at the opening, we sometimes just relax down into our face first, and then we bring it down, just like Brenda did. We just let it wash down through the body like a wave. That's not the same thing as 3-part breath, and it's not the same thing as the breath to soften and release, okay? So I want to just be really clear on that. Breath to soften and release is the breath we use with Tonglen. I mean, we use it other times too, but with Tonglen, we're going to be beginning to introduce a breathing with these 3 mantras I just gave you, the 3 core sentences, right? And when we're sitting with the uncomfortable feeling, that feeling of tightness or ache or fury, whatever that feeling is, right? How do you allow it to be there when everything in you wants to run away? How do you do that? Right? This, the breath to soften and release. What we're doing is we're breathing into the tightness and we're breathing and we're opening, we're expanding. And think of it as you're expanding to make space for this feeling. See, now I use the word feeling for emotion, right? Damn. Okay. So complicated. But we're expanding in and we're breathing, we're letting the breath open. Okay. So I can fully experience the sensation of this emotion in my body without resisting it. So I am letting go of everything that's not open and accepting. I'm letting go of that. And I'm allowing that sensation, feeling, emotion, whatever we're going to call it, right, to just be there. So that's that breath. This is why we've been working on that breath, is to prepare us for this. Okay? So you kind of want the breath to just be like a second nature thing throughout Tonglen. Throughout Tonglen, I'm going to be giving you a visualization, some other things, but behind all of it, the breath, each breath is coming in and it's an opening, creating a spaciousness and opening. And as you're exhaling, you're letting go of everything that isn't that spacious, open acceptance, which is going to be counterintuitive, but you're going to get here. You can do this. You can do this. Okay. Did that make sense? Any questions on that? Okay, before we get to the actual visualization part, breath part, let's practice just this. Okay, so just sit comfortably, but we want the chest and the shoulders, we want openness. We don't want to be collapsed, okay? And let's each of us just find a sensation in the heart center, find something. Please do not use the most worstest horrible thing that's ever happened to you here. Use a little thing like my dog shit on the floor this morning and I had to clean it up and I was late and I'm frustrated over that. That's a little thing. Let's come into that. Something like that size. Okay. That's manageable. If something else shows up while we're doing it, we'll work with that. But for now, see if you can choose to start with something simpler. Just some kind of uncomfortable feeling, sensation. And let's breathe into it. Just let that breath come in with a sense of opening, and allowing you to just be with that sensation as you exhale. You're exhaling everything that's tight and resisting and confining. And we're just opening into opening and softening so that the feeling can just be there. And we are soft and open enough. We can hold this sensation. And we just allow it to be there. Okay, now I'm sorry to kind of leave you here, but I want to check in with everybody, make sure, is everybody there? Did everybody get that? Are we able to open and soften? Any questions? No? Everybody's good? Well, then let's try this. Let's do a mini Tonglen practice, okay? Okay, so we're going to find our seat and we're going to settle, softening the body. And showing up for this sensation that we're experiencing. And we're going to lean into it by breathing in and softening and allowing that. See, I want to use the word feeling. Let's call it that emotion, that sensation to be there. We're leaning into it. We're exploring it. We're discovering it. We're allowing it, right? And then as we breathe into it, we're going to breathe in this cool, 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 refreshing sensation with the inhale. Can you find that? It's cool, it's refreshing, and it's softening. And as we exhale, we're softening even more and releasing. Okay? And now what we're going to do is we're going to breathe in with that coolness and feeling that coolness coming right into the heart, letting it touch that heart center as we say, other people feel this way too. And we exhale and we soften into that thought, oh, I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me. And we breathe in soft into that feeling, oh, other people feel this way too. And as you exhale, can you feel the relief? Oh, I'm not alone. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. And we take a few breaths here. Just seeing if you can lean into it and find the feeling of the words. Other people feel this way too. I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong. And so hopefully there's some sense of relief that makes even more room for that sensation. And then at some point, when you feel like I get it. I'm not alone. I don't feel alone. I feel that there's nothing wrong with me. This, I've even got just a sliver of a taste that I'm connected. We breathe in this with that next breath with, and we mentally hold the thought also. And this will pass. This will pass. So now we're breathing in. Other people feel this way too. And this will pass. But there's not a sense of, oh, yeah, it's a sense of soft and knowing this is going to pass. I don't have to resist it. I can stay soft. It's going to pass. Inhaling, other people feel this way too. This will pass. Exhaling, soft relief. Or you might find for you, it's inhaling. Other people feel this way too. And exhaling, oh, this will pass. This will pass. Yeah. And then with our next inhale, we have that thought. We add the thought. Oh my goodness. Oh, I can see what everybody else is feeling. I wish they didn't have to feel this. I wish there was some way I could relieve that suffering for them. I wish they didn't have to feel this. See if you can find that opening in the heart. Oh, I wish nobody else ever had to feel this. And so we have, these are our three steps. And we kind of keep them going as a gentle, just like a gentle, I don't know, to me it feels almost like a circle. It's coming in. Other people feel this too. This is going to pass. But, oh, I wish I could relieve their suffering. I wish they didn't have to feel this. I know what they're feeling. And we just keep breathing with this little cycle till we've softened into it. And some part of us believes it. Okay? Okay, so now that's another element of the practice right there. I'm gonna ask you to just, we're gonna kind of take a break here as I remind us what we're doing. We're going to add the third piece. Okay. So we've got the words we're saying. We've got the sense that we're breathing in and we're softening with the exhale. So we've got some kind of a rhythm where the breath and these words and the feelings of the words are connected. Okay. And now what we're going to do is we're going to add an imagery. And we're going to add the imagery that as we're inhaling, actually before we go there, I'm going to ask you to just think for a moment. If you had to just sit with that feeling of whatever you were working with, right? What color is that feeling? Find a color for it. And what temperature is that feeling? And let's give it a temperature and a color. Okay? And what we're going to add now, we're going to do this very carefully, and I don't want you to do it yet. I'm explaining it, okay? Because before we actually do this technique, we make sure that the heart is, that we've established a place in the heart center that is radiant and brilliant and filled with, oh, what's the word I want to use today? Grace. Okay? At the center of our heart, there is this radiant brilliance that is grace, filled with grace and love. Okay? And so what we're going to do, in fact, when we actually do the full practice, we start with that in our heart center, okay? And we allow the feeling that we're working with to come. We lean into it and we begin working with the breath and the words. As we inhale, we imagine in front of us that color of the suffering. We almost imagine that it's also in front of us as a color and a temperature. And we breathe in the color of that feeling, which helps us to lean into it, right? But as we're breathing it in, it touches that heart center that is this radiant, radiant light. And when it touches that heart center, it turns into that light. It's like that light burns it up. And as we exhale that white, pure radiance. Does that make sense? Are we breathing in the feeling, the color, but we're exhaling? That never touches this radiant diamond in the center of our being. And instead, as we exhale this pure, radiant brilliance. Okay? So work with me slowly here. I want to make sure your hearts are protected, that everybody has found that they can breathe in this color, this feeling, but it doesn't touch the core of their being. It touches this radiance instead, and then it's exhaled as this radiant. Is there anybody who's not feeling that? Okay. If at any point you start to get lost in the color and the feeling and that radiance leaves, stop everything and come back to that radiance. Find that radiance center, okay? Because we're not literally drinking in this darkness. We are transmuting it, okay? All right, let's find our seat. I'm gonna try and take you through the technique now in its completeness. And we're going to establish first a stability in our seat. We're going to feel ourselves stable, supported, safe. In our room, safe where we are. We're going to bring that awareness of our breath, loving, kind, gentle, coming into touching that heart center, waking up that radiant, brilliant diamond at the center of our being, or jewel, however you want to see it. And now we're going to allow the feeling we're working with
And we're going to allow ourselves to open to it, to lean into it, to breathe in soft opening. And as we exhale, soften all resistance to this feeling. As much resistance as feels safe, let's put it that way. And as we soften and we allow this feeling to be there, this feeling becomes a color and a temperature. And we imagine that this feeling is also in front of us as this color, this temperature. And as we inhale this feeling as we say, other people feel this way too. And then when that thought hits the heart center, it moves back out as this light, this white light. And we inhale, oh, other people feel this way too. I'm not alone. And we exhale the white light. And we just continue with a gentle, easy breath, breathing it in, no resistance, allowing this to come in. Other people feel this too. And as we feel that relief that I'm not alone, that white light that just is part of our exhale. Okay, so do we have this? Do we have this? We're breathing in the color, but it doesn't touch the heart. The feeling is there. We're allowing the feeling to be, but that sense that I'm not alone, that light, that radiance, we exhale the radiance instead, the relief. And then we begin, and when you do this on your own, you can take as much time as you need, but for now we're going to inhale. Oh, and this will pass. And that feeling of this will pass allows us to breathe out that white light. So there's no resistance. We're breathing in the color, the heat, whatever the temperature is. We're allowing it to come in, but when it hits the heart, it becomes, oh, I'm not alone. It becomes, oh, this will pass. And then as we begin to breathe in, we add that recognition that, oh, other people are suffering like I am. And we breathe out that white light to them saying, I wish you didn't have to suffer. I wish you could be filled with this grace, this light. And so now we're breathing in to the feeling, no resistance, but it touches the heart and it leaves us as compassion, a feeling of pure compassion. And what we begin to notice is that the feeling of compassion is growing and the light as we send it forth is radiant and brilliant, and that color of our feeling is no longer there. It's becoming fainter and it's becoming filled with this light of compassion, this feeling of compassion. And as we inhale, we're inhaling that compassion into ourselves. And we're inhaling this sense of, oh, others feel this. I wish they didn't have to. And oh, here's this compassion filling me. And we're inhaling, I'm not alone. And we're exhaling deep compassion for others. And as we inhale, that compassion comes back to us. And we are now resting and breathing in this beautiful, beautiful cycle that is filled with compassion for our own suffering and for other people's suffering. And there's this magic that we can hold place for both, but somehow this compassion becomes dominant. And that other feeling is just gently transmuted into compassion. And we breathe in compassion. We breathe out compassion. We breathe in this brilliant, white, radiant light that is filled with love and compassion. And we send it back out to all beings just like us. And let's actually close this technique with our Om Shantis. Let's release the technique and just rest in this feeling of whatever compassion or softness you found. And as we send our Om Shantis, let's send this to ourselves, to each other, and to all beings everywhere who are just like us. Inhale. Om. And since we just did this technique, let's send it out as white light. Just send it to yourself as white light. Send it as white light filled with compassion, love, and peace. Inhale. Shanti. 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 May you be blessed, beautiful ones. May you be blessed, Lisa and Brenda and Lisa. And Kelsey and Laura and Agnieszka and Kathleen and Ramon and Steve and April. And may we all be triply blessed that we in our wisdom may be an even greater blessing to others. Namaste. So I know we're at time. I just want to make sure everybody's okay before we go. All right, is everybody okay? Are you feeling some kind of compassion or calm? Or is it, if there's some intensity still going, then stay after with me and let's work through that. Okay? I don't want to leave you where we started. I want to leave you in compassion. Yes? Are we there? Agnieszka, do you want to stay after? Are you good? You're good? Okay. All right, loves. Then I will, it'll be a couple days before I get you your assignment because that's my focus right at the moment. But I can tell you this, you have 2 weeks off. I want you to rest. I want you to be kind. Practice whatever feels most fun. Practice the pranayamas. Do the tension release. See if you can do something each day that you enjoy. But let's take a little time to digest. I will be telling you which videos to watch. I do have some Tonglen videos, but I want to make sure they're close enough to what we just did before I ask you to watch them. So I need to go watch them myself. And get Pema's book, okay? When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron. That's kind of the main thing. We want.
Uh-oh, he froze.
What was the author's name again?
What? Pema Chodron. It's PemaChodrin, I think. Kelsey, and it's When Things Fall Apart.
Okay.
Kelsey just put it in chat.
Okay, am I back? Am I back?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Internet unstable. So yes, When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron. Did somebody spell it? Did I hear somebody spelling it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Kelsey, got it. Okay, so enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, all right?
Great.
And yeah, and enjoy your meditation and enjoy where we're going, but we're going a little deep with Tonglen, so we'll go there easy, okay? All right, loves.
Hey, everybody.
Can I
ask a question of everybody really quick?
Yeah.
April and I have talked about this a couple of times, and I keep forgetting to say it, but we talked about whether or not our group would feel that a in-between communication for us would be helpful. Like, okay, Kelsey's cheering. Like setting up a group chat or a, I don't know what medium everybody feels like they would want to participate in. But those of us local that know each other, I think are reaching out to each other, but I want to make sure that those that are further away, if you're, and Karen, how do you feel about that? If we're like,
you know, our other group had a Facebook, private Facebook page that they okay. use, but that means everybody needs to be on Facebook and not everybody is these days. Yeah. Kathleen's right. not.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you, I'm totally up for it. If you guys can okay. find a way. Yes, please do. Please do. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So I'll let Brenda, when I let you reach out to everybody and see what you guys can come up with.
Because I know I have everybody's emails just because of the couple of things that have gone out that haven't been BCC'd. So I'll just reach out that way and we'll sort of get a consensus of if there's a chat function that everybody can agree on or, you know, okay. whatever.
So. Which actually brings up, is it okay with you all if we're not BCC'd, if we just keep everybody's emails now so you can, okay, perfect. All right. Enjoy your weekend.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.